It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Eh.
Eh.
I'm eh, to be perfectly honest.
What is that?
I don't know. It's just, it's that kind of day. The weather's been weird in New York. But you know where the weather has probably been weirder?
Where?
Beautiful, scenic Reno, Nevada, where Cut 4's newest writer, Jessica Kleinschmidt, calls home. Welcome to the Cut Forecast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really excited. They said I was a guest star, and I felt like it was an episode of One Tree Hill, so I got really excited.
I think our podcast is often compared to One Tree Hill. I think they say we're the One Tree Hill of baseball podcasts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited right now. This is great.
That's what critics say. The critics say that. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for coming on this week. You probably recognized Jessica's work from MLB.com/cut4 and the Twitterverse and everywhere else that you consume baseball content. She's very prolific. But she's ours. She's here now. So we're happy to have you here. We have a lot to get to today. We'll talk about the Cubs prospect that went Roy Hobbs on us. What does that mean? Well, stay tuned. Michael Clare wrote a post this week about six hidden ballpark spots across the nation that you should check out. Some of them are not in ballparks, so it's a tiny bit misleading. I need to lecture him about that, but it's a great story. You should go read it. We'll also continue our Cubs chat with a brief look at the throwback uniforms that caused a minor wardrobe malfunction, and then we will bring it home by discussing what the coolest way to end a game defensively is. We'll end our podcast with the coolest way to end a game. Yeah?
Yeah.
No?
No,
you're not?
Yeah.
Gemma's making a face. She often makes faces, but that's the whole point of radio, is that you can't see her weird faces that she makes at me.
I'm going to just...
Yeah, I have a great face for radio, so
we're good. I do too. This is why we're all writers.
This is why we stopped doing Facebook Live, honestly.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
All right, without any further ado, let us discuss Cubs prospect Eloy Jimenez. Am I pronouncing that right? Do you think Eloy? Anybody? Sure.
I would assume so, or yeah. Eloy.
Eloy.
Aloy sounds pretty good. Reminds me of like Moises Alou.
Oh, I like that. Aloy. Aloy, yeah. Jimenez. He was participating in the Class A Advanced Carolina League's Home Run Derby on Monday night. And he hit a home run into the lights. Literally, into the lights. It wasn't lost in the lights. Like, literally, it hit the lights. And it caused them to explode. Sparks rained down Roy Hobbs style, like in The Natural. Is this the coolest way to hit a home run? We've been debating a lot of, like, what is cooler in baseball recently. Jessica, why don't we start with you? Do you think this is the coolest possible way to hit a home run?
I feel like if it was darker, it would have been way cooler. And mainly because it reminds you of fireworks. And you mentioned the Roy Hobbs thing. When Roy did it, all of a sudden, every single light broke. I know it was like the Hollywood, you know, effect and stuff like that. But it was like one light broke and then all of a sudden fireworks went off. You're like, that's a little exaggerated, but I get it. So if it was a little bit darker and this happened, that would have been so awesome. Because, you know, maybe at that, you know, range, they can't afford fireworks, if you will. I don't really know what the situation is, but I feel like they would, because they have to drag, you know, fans so much. But if it was a little bit darker, I think that it would have been way more awesome.
They should. The minor league stadiums have fireworks all the time.
Yeah.
That's like the bread and butter.
They like walk. They walk to first. They're like, oh my gosh, firework time. Get crazy. Yeah. So yeah, if it was just, yeah, like I said, it was a little bit darker and like the whole Hollywood effect was there, I think it would have been great. But either way, it's pretty awesome to see. And it's not easy to do, you know, kind of scenario. So I loved it.
Yeah, that would be a good promotion, actually. We will set off fireworks after every minor baseball event. Somebody draws a walk, fireworks. Somebody gets caught stealing, fireworks. Someone makes a routine fly ball, fireworks.
Done.
That's a good minor league. Basically, the Cub Forecast actually is just the think tank for minor league promotional
invented,
ideas.
Yes, minor league promotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gemma, what do you think? Is this the coolest way to hit a home run?
It's pretty cool. I mean, since we talked about it before, do you think it's cooler to hit a home run like this? Or if your options were you hit a home run and you break a light, or you hit a home run and you also hit the cover off the ball, but you do not break a light, what would you rather do?
Well, this is tough. I will say, last week I made my feelings about ripping the cover off the ball well known. Mm-hmm. So I hesitate seeming like a hypocrite by saying something else. But it would be cool if I could rip the cover off the ball and destroy the lights. I will say
you get one or the other. You can't do both. What is this?
I will say the positive right. of all of this is that I just like destroying things, and so potentially.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so potentially like destroying the lights in the stadium feels that need. So I guess I would go with that. I don't know, Jess. What do you think?
Oh gosh, that's a tough one too, because like I know she wants me to choose one or the other, but I feel like if you hit the ball hard enough into the lights, something would happen to the ball, I would assume. But I don't know, I just like the light factor. I'm like a sucker for like the Nicholas Sparks like fireworks at the end of a baseball game, so I would probably do the light coming out because I'd be like, look what I just started. I caused some drama. And that happens right in the instant. Sometimes you don't see the cover being hit off the ball for a while, right? So I feel like if you can see the instantaneous light popping, I would be pretty pumped with that. Also, I have a better chance of doing neither one of them.
No, I like that. Yeah. I feel like I like that you adapted, and I feel like now what in this fantasy scenario, it's that you hit a home run, you hit the cover off the ball, it goes into the light, the cover catches on fire from the light, and then the ball keeps going because I don't know why, but it does, and it's like a shooting baseball star now.
Well, and I like the idea. I like the idea of this being linked to Nicholas Sparks too. So when you arrive back at home plate, your lost love is standing there, and you're reunited right at home.
But then
plate.
They immediately die because again, it's a Nicholas Sparks situation. So
right, that's true. There's a little bit of happiness because that's right when you pop in the Nicholas Sparks TV, you're like, I've never seen this. I wonder who's gonna die. Like that kind of deal, you know.
This is all very good. This is good brainstorming. you're fitting right in here on the Cup Forecast. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. More stadiums should be wired, and I agree that we should wire them such that if one light explodes,
they all explode.
Go out, and that sets off a mechanism that plays the theme from The Natural. I think we're all in agreement on that, and I think we can finally move on from this important issue. Michael Clare this week wrote a post about 6 hidden ballpark spots that you should check out on a road trip across the country. There are vastly more than 6 cool ones. He had a hard time narrowing this down. Do either of you have a thing that stands out in your mind, either from this post or from your own personal travels through this great country and its baseball stadiums that sticks out in your mind? Gemma, what do you think?
Well, there's some stuff in Claire's post that I just didn't even know about at all, which I thought was pretty cool. Like the Japanese Garden by Dodger Stadium. I would really like to go there. It seems really beautiful. And we talked about this on the podcast before, but like the history of Japanese American baseball in America is not really covered a lot. So I think it's pretty great that you can go somewhere close to a major park and see something like that.
We did a whole episode about that.
If you
scroll back in the feed, you'll see that somewhere in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Late 90s, somewhere there. check that out for sure.
Yeah, but it's just exciting. I mean, I hope that Claire is doing some kind of cross-country road trip now where he discovers more and more of these places.
I mean, every time we talk to him, he's in a different city. Yeah. So who can say? Jessica, do you have a favorite spot, hidden spot in a ballpark?
Yeah. So, I mean, they talked about all these bars in San Francisco, and I lived in the Bay Area for a year, and it's ridiculous the amount of bars. So I was thinking, like, at first I was like, okay, cool. Like, there was a bar that I went to, but then I thought about the one stadium I've been to billions of times, which is O.co Coliseum. I know it gets a bad rep, but it's just, I have so many memories there. And it's not super hidden, but the right field bleachers in Oakland are phenomenal. And I feel like they really were highlighted when Josh Reddick was there and kind of would hear all these individuals kind of yelling at him, but having fun. And then it kind of developed this awesome reputation when guys would come into town, the visiting teams, and they heard about it and they would interact with the right field bleachers. Like Josh Hamilton made like a really, really big error and had fun with it. They would like throw butterfingers at him and saying like, oh, you really screwed this up. But they all had fun with it. So it's not super hidden. It's kind of well known, but every time I've gone there, they're so welcoming. They're so much fun. And it's just this particular spot in the bleachers that everybody's great. The biggest fans you can imagine throwing, you know, the fans, they have like a drum set out there and yelling at the guy in right field. And it's just awesome. So anytime you're at O.co, have a few bucks and can actually go to a game. It's, you know, obviously not expensive, but they're so welcoming and they love A's fans. Even if you're a visiting fan, they're great. So I really suggest checking that little place out.
Yeah, I really want to go to the Coliseum.
Yeah, I've never been there either.
I've never been.
Great.
I've heard it's really cool. We've had some A's fans circle through the orbit of Cut 4 in the years, and they've all said that the Coliseum is really, really underrated. I would say that, for me, the thing on this list that I was most excited about, and I'm sticking with the Claire list because I think it's cool, mm-hmm. was the Gotham Club at AT&T Park.
Oh, yeah?
What I like about it is that it's kind of secret. And kind of not. And mm-hmm. like, you have to be a season ticket holder to get in, and you have to have a special membership. And I am a sucker for that kind of thing. Like the Speakeasy World, when that became a whole thing, I was like, oh, a secret bar. This is so cool. And like, I'm very cool. And so I am familiar. I've never been, but I'm familiar with Club 33 in Disneyland, which is a secret club within Disneyland that you have to be a member to participate in. And the Gotham Club reminds me of that, and since I will never be in either, I figure I should link them both.
Well, did you like that thing when, remember when Fenway did the thing that you could Airbnb for one night in Fenway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a dream. They should make that every night.
Would you just squat there? You'd be like, this is my house
yes.
now.
I would. Can you imagine living in Fenway Park? That'd be the coolest thing.
Be the ghost of Fenway Park, the Phantom of the Opera.
Wally the Green Monster lives
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you could be best friends with Wally.
Yeah, he'll be my roommate.
That would be really cute. That would be a cute TV show.
Yeah, beat writers like working into late hours and night can just crash there. I don't really see the issue.
Yeah, they're all welcome. They're all welcome.
Yeah.
Ian Brown, you can crash. It's all good.
Now, a couple of parks have the secret gardens, right? Like food gardens where they grow food that they. I know Fenway does.
I think AT&T has.
And AT&T does this. Yeah, those are really cool. Because you mentioned Disney, so then I thought of this. I was thinking about when I went last year, how I really liked the agriculture thing at Epcot because
you mean
I'm the
living
worst.
With the land.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know if you know this, Jessica Paul. Apologies. This is also a Disney podcast. I don't know if you.
I figured. I thought so. Yeah.
But it would be fun. I would like to go wander around in the ballpark's agriculture section. It would be
like
a good time.
It would be like Biodome.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
They have experience with agriculture and horticulture. They grow grass right on the field. Like they know a lot about
right.
it. So clearly that would be very educational as well. Definitely go to MLB.com/cut4 to check out all of those spots on Claire's list. If you have ones that he did not include that you think we should be made aware of, please tweet them at cut4, or you can tweet them at cut4 with hashtag cut4cast. We will read some good ones on the podcast next week. If they're so good, maybe we'll do a whole post about it. Wouldn't that be special? Claire wants to see all of them in person. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the StatCast podcast, a show dedicated to the analytics that drive front office decisions in the modern game. It's hosted by veritable geniuses Mike Petriello, friend of the podcast, and Matt Myers, future friend of the podcast. We need to get him on. Put a note in there.
All right.
And last week, they sang the praises of Robbie Ray and explained why he's gone from one of the league's most divisive pitchers to one of the best in baseball by nearly any measure. If that's something you want to hear about, I don't know why that's in my copy. You obviously want to hear about that.
I mean, I am very lucky to have Robbie Ray in our fantasy league. So.
I don't want to hear about that at all, but I do want to hear about Robbie Ray, and I want to hear Mike Petriello and Matt Myers explain how great he is to me. And if you want to do that too, you can download the show on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcast by searching for StatCast Podcast and clicking subscribe, or by going to www.statcastpodcast.com. That's statcastpodcast.com. The Cubs had a fun throwback night. They were celebrating the Negro League's Heritage Game, and the Cubs actually won that game in a 9-5 win. It was at PNC Park. The Pirates wore the uniforms of the Homestead Grays, and Chicago honored the Leland Giants. And they had these cool like sleeves in their jerseys, these like white sleeves underneath their jerseys. It looked really cool, and so they made sure all the players wore the long sleeve shirts to make it feel more real, more, I don't know what the word is, true to the period.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to
authentic.
Win the... Authentic. They wanted to win the Tony Award for costume.
And
unfortunately, there is a rule in the MLB rulebook that a pitcher cannot wear long white sleeves on his arms because it blends in with the baseball and it makes it harder to mm-hmm. see. And so when Cubs starter Eddie Butler took the mound, they sent out a pair of scissors to cut off his sleeve.
Yeah.
Okay. Gemma, let me ask you first. Would you feel comfortable having people cut clothes off your arm while you're a professional pitcher?
Absolutely not. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Also, yeah. Eddie Butler said that he's like, I kind of knew this was going to happen. I got the sense that maybe I wouldn't be able to, you know, he said something along those lines. What I want to know is, well, if he didn't know that, if he knew that, they should have made them be tearaway sleeves. And then when the ump came out, they could have played some super metal song and then he could have ripped them off.
That would have been really,
you
know? Cool.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been all drama. I mean, if you want to win the Tony, you really have to up this spectacle here. Fireworks? Jess's fireworks could have popped out at that moment.
Yeah.
Like, or guitar solo, ripping off the sleeves.
He could have pretended to get really mad at the umpire and ripped them off that way.
Yeah.
And done like a fake fight. That would have been good.
That would have been great. Yes.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Because it does make me anxious that somebody was out there with a pair of scissors close to his arms.
I know. Well, I get uncomfortable when people try to pin something on me or something like that. I hate that. And like, Gemma gave me a pin the other day for her play.
I did.
Advertising her play. True, yes. Right. Uh-huh. Go see it. And I stabbed my finger in the pin because I kept it in my bag like an idiot. I don't like sharp objects.
Oh,
I would not like having a sleeve cut off my arm. Jessica, what do you think?
Okay, first of all, I've never seen a trainer work so hard in my life. Like, this guy was like, this is happening. Like, that's what scared me, was he was doing it so fast, because I thought like they set up the feet or something, but no, this guy was like going for it with these sleeves. It really creeped me out. So I'm right there with you. You're running out. You're a trainer. You have to, don't run with scissors, first of all. Like, that alone, like, hello. And so like he just goes for it, and then this is like a rule that I remember from like Little League. Like, we couldn't have like the white little patches on. A lot of people wore gloves underneath their mitts, like batting gloves, and you couldn't have a white, you know, strip because it blended with the ball. So that alone, I was like, that's like amateur status there. You should have known better. But either way, it just, like, I'm right there with Gemma. Like, you just going for it and just gives me anxiety because, you know, the sharp object coming towards, and even Butler looks uncomfortable, and the whole scenario was just pretty comedic. But the trainer alone kind of freaked me out because he's just super quick and going for it. I just didn't like it.
That is a good point. Don't run with scissors.
Truly.
What a dedicated individual trying to like put the Cubs and the success of the Cubs ahead of their own safety. And I think that's admirable,
but also terrifying.
Sure, but also admirable.
If you learn anything,
you know,
from the Cut forecast, it's don't run with scissors.
Don't run with scissors.
Right.
But I will say, the reason why the trainer felt so inspired to do so was because they just felt that they needed to live up to the great example set for them by the greatest leader in the world, Theo Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that just seems to me like it exudes the whole organization. Everyone just wants to be like the greatest leader in the world.
This is so annoying.
Right.
It's not annoying at all. That's fact. That's just a fact. He was named the greatest leader in the world. What do you want to do?
How
fight
long
about
does
it?
He get to be the greatest leader for in the world?
Until they do the list again next year.
He gets it for a whole year.
If I were him, look, I will bring this up every day because it is that important. If I were him, I would wear a hat that said world's greatest leader. I would tell everybody in the office that I was the world's greatest leader. That is what I would do.
Nobody ever let Dakota anywhere near Fortune magazine reporter.
I mean, I already tell everybody I was the Time Magazine Person of the Year in 2006.
That's true, you do. Yeah.
And everybody looks
Along
at me weirdly.
Along with everybody on Twitter, Dakota.
Whatever.
Everybody's bio.
Whatever.
I was Time Person of the Year. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, that's original.
Okay. This, I'm the host of this podcast, darn it. Okay, we're gonna move on here. We're definitely in favor of long sleeve jerseys in general, though.
Yeah,
I think that's a
yeah. I feel like we've discussed before. We kind of like the vest over sleeves look.
Yeah.
Though it's more fun when, say, the sleeves are purple or something like that.
What team could you be thinking of?
What team?
Let's move on though here to this. Our good friends at Cespedes Family Barbecue, who are now here with us. That's very exciting. I was having a conversation with them mere minutes ago.
And you will hear them on this podcast soon.
Yeah, we need to get them.
Yeah.
We need to get Matt Myers on the podcast. We need to get the Cespedes Family Barbecue kids on the podcast.
Yeah.
They're actually 12 and 13. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
They are. It's interesting.
Combined. 5-year-old.
Yes, yeah. It's true. And we're just glad their parents let them come on our show. But they wrote a post. I actually think Jordan specifically wrote this post called "What is the coolest way to end a game defensively?" I think this is a really cool post. You should go check it out. MLB.com/cut4. Follow them as well on Twitter at Cespedes Family Barbecue. And they had some interesting thoughts on this. Their number one was a play at the plate throw from the outfield. Do you guys agree with that? Do you think, which one? You'll have to go to the article to see. But what play, I guess, Jessica, let's start with you. What play do you think is the most exciting defensive play to end a game?
So I definitely like the play at home plate because it's, you know, that could score it. That could sometimes win it. It could sometimes lose it kind of deal. But I'm an A's fan, so everybody always thinks of the flip towards mm-hmm. home plate, and it just like breaks my heart. And I'm like, and no matter what happens, it could be my wedding day, it could be a funeral. People are like, hey, remember that flip? And I'm like, really, dude? Like, you want to bring it up right now? Like, every time. So that's always drama for me, and I really like it. But I'm a sucker for a mid infielder. I played shortstop for a whole week in college, so I'm just saying, I'm pretty much. Might as well get
That's
me a
cool.
coaching job
Wait
now.
A second.
Yeah,
I think you just
yeah.
took the lead as the most athletic cut-four staffer.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was like a JC, and like I didn't even make the team, but they let me come out for like a week. It was kind of a weird thing.
We didn't
but,
even. The rest
yeah.
of us, we washed out around 10 years old. Most of us.
I've never played organized baseball in my life.
Yeah, it was because I played baseball, but then I had to switch to softball because of like the college opportunities. But I grew up playing with the boys, so my defense was something that I was always pretty great. I couldn't hit, so I was like an Omar Vizquel, but I loved my defense. So growing up, I've always been a sucker for a mid infielder. So anytime there's a diving catch in the mid infield between a shortstop or a second baseman, I'm so down. If that also ends the game, oh my gosh. Because I like defense a lot times more than I like offense, at least as far as like a fan perspective. And so watching that is always something. And then in this article, there was a play that Joey Votto had a fit about. And if you can make Joey Votto upset, you're doing something right. So that's kind of how I look at it. So any sort of defensive play, I like the play at home, but then any sort of diving catch in mid infield, I'm all about.
Gemma, what do you think? What is your favorite defensive play to end a game?
Well, as we've discussed on the Cut Forecast before, we're all pretty much a fan of really fast middle infielders. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, who should wear a GoPro? Like, all shortstops should just wear GoPros at all times. Like, they should always wear body-mounted cameras so we can watch them.
Body-mounted action cameras.
Oh, action cameras, yes. It's very exciting. But I actually agreed with Jordan that I think the play at the plate is the most exciting way to end a game because the chance, like the probability of that play going well is, I feel like, generally kind of low. That's why it's so exciting, because if you're watching it, you really, really, truly do not know what's going to happen. And then usually there's some kind of like, if you're not close, you can't really see it. So I feel like it gets people out of their seats too, because you want to lean forward and watch this play. Mm-hmm. And it's so unlikely that it's more exciting to me, because I love great catches. We all do. But I've also like, you kind of know right away, and I like the suspense instead. What are you shaking your head for?
No, you're wrong.
Why?
You're objectively wrong.
Why? What is right?
The correct answer to this question is a home run robbery. That is the correct answer.
It is really fun.
Because you are literally,
bizarre.
If nothing happened, if you didn't exist, the other team would win the game. But you do exist, and so you win the game for your team.
So it's like if
Schrodinger's cat, if you had the power to determine whether the cat was living or dead.
Wait,
that is what it's like.
That's crazy, but
no.
So if you're an outfielder that robs a home run, should you get the win? Should they
yes.
be like you get the
well,
win?
Well, so that's a separate conversation, but I do believe that wins should be applied much more liberally. I think people have been anti-pitcher win for a long time
yes.
in the statistics community, and I think they were looking at this all wrong. The problem isn't the pitcher win, it's that the pitcher's the only person who gets the win. If you hit the go-ahead run, you should get the win as
so
well.
So whoever at the like the mm-hmm. highest game leverage moment,
yes.
whoever
yes.
acts, they should get the win. I actually
exactly.
like that. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And if you rob a home run, you've literally won the game. That's cool.
I like that.
I mean, if it's like a you know, a 12-2 ball game or whatever, it doesn't matter. Although I guess it wouldn't really.
Why then? You know, then it's not a walk off defensive play.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
and if you went 0-for-4 at the plate, they forget.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
They made a diving catch. They won the game.
Well, in your
idea,
like,
that's what I was always cool.
Yeah, even if that moment happens in the seventh inning, but it's ultimately the play that is the winning play, right? You would still get the win.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, that's how that works.
But the most important thing here is that you understand that you're wrong and that a home run robbery is actually the best defensive play.
I thought you were going to say a pickoff.
That was a good one. That was.
I thought you were gonna say that.
I could say that. I basically will talk endlessly, Jessica. You should know this about the 2013 World Series. So that's and ALCS.
Which,
Gemma, as a Tigers fan,
oh my God.
Lost to my beloved Red Sox.
Yes, but I got the L. Me personally,
you did get the L. You got David Ortiz got the win though. Okay, but that's enough of that nonsense. You should go to MLB.com/cut4 to read all of the great ways that defense can end baseball games. But we have a little bit of time here at the end of the podcast, and we said, you know what? We do this as a tradition with all of our Cut 4 writers, all of our new Cut 4ists, and we decided that Jessica, since you are on the show, we are going to ask you some hot topic questions about Major League Baseball. We did not prep.
Not about
we
hot
did not
topic?
Prep these with her. Not about hot. We can ask you about hot topic too. That's a better option. They should sponsor the Cut 4 cast. Yeah. I think that's good brand synergy. But we have not prepped her on any of these questions that we are going to ask. But number one, the most important question of all baseball fandom, Gemma knows what I'm going to say. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Okay, so I know this personally because Josh Donaldson told me it was. So it is.
I really like Josh Donaldson and you, but now a little less. Both
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, that's the wrong answer.
Because he said that he's eaten it. He's eaten a hot dog on a piece of bread. So I'm like, okay.
Well, that's
that
because
works
he's.
For me.
He needs to think about his life. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Well, even then.
After that, I was like, okay, fine. And then I just, because it's to me, it was always a debate. And I was like, you know what? I have him, and it got me the answer, and I'm done. We're good.
But he called it a hot dog without, if like you go to the store, a hot dog without a bun is still a hot dog. A hot dog without the bread is still a hot dog.
Right.
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 Like,
right.
Well, and if he ate it on a piece of bread, well, technically a bun is bread. So that should not matter in this whole thing. And like,
I just like to be the weird one.
A taco shell is also bread. And a taco is not a sandwich.
A taco, we can't open this can of worms.
Do you think a taco is a sandwich?
No, I don't. Okay. But I don't know that I would call a taco shell bread.
It's totally bread.
I
a soft shell, not a hard shell.
Okay. All right. Okay. A soft shell, yes.
It. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you call a burrito a sandwich?
No.
Jessica? No. Okay. So we've established a baseline.
We need to find another former A to contradict this, or current A.
Yeah, we definitely do. That's a good
one. I'll see what I can do. I'll
ask. Okay, well, now that we know that you are the most athletic of all the Cut 4 staffers, you have vaulted to the top of the rankings. This is a key question. If, you know, for some reason you were called up to play in MLB, what would your walk-up song be?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. Probably, oh gosh, I don't know. AJ Lee has this really awesome walk-up song. She's a WWE superstar, and every time like that song plays, like it pumps me up. It's called "Light It Up," and it's like a stupid like dance girls' night out song, but that always puts me in the best mood. So probably that or DMX "Up in Here."
Wow.
I like this.
Yeah.
You
wide
very
breadth
exciting.
Of those are both
yeah,
very
I'd
exciting.
Be like, oh, yeah. You know, a special
good.
Cheer.
Those are good. Do you have a favorite MLB mascot?
Probably Orbit, just because he's the only person who's kind of streaked on the field and we get to actually watch it. The cameras go to him.
Okay, well, Orbit is not a person. He's an alien. So I just want to be
okay,
clear
well,
about
you're
that.
Right, you're right.
For our
you're
alien right. Listeners,
Bob,
I don't want to...
Baxter the Bobcat's kind of a flirt. And yes. He always has fun with the ladies. So, you know, you think you can trust someone, then you see him flirting with somebody else, and you're like, wow, okay, I thought we had something.
Okay. I like that.
Baxter.
You don't like D-Baxter?
No, I don't like D-Baxter.
Why not?
I think he's creepy.
Well, okay. Well, what's your opinion on Dinger?
He's okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't really like to cheat on the two that I have.
Fair enough. I'm not yeah. a huge Dinger fan.
Yeah.
Is your favorite Wally?
No, my favorite is the Fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Fanatic
is pretty good.
Yeah. Like, the Fanatic is the best. Mrs. Met is probably number two.
Mrs. Met is awesome.
Yeah, Mrs. Met is great. I would probably put Orbit up there.
Are there any guys or any of, like, the mascots that genuinely creep you out? Because the Aces mascot scares me. I don't go near him.
I have some.
Whatever he is.
I have some. I will not name their names on this podcast. I well, choose to protect the
as
innocent.
We recently discussed, the greatest mascot is also the creepiest mascot, the Chibolat Marine's Mysterious Fish.
The Mysterious Fish.
So
we need to get the Mysterious Fish on the podcast.
I don't even know what that experience would be like.
I don't either. We had the Freeze on.
Yeah, we
Does
did.
Does the Freeze count as a mascot? The Freeze might be my favorite.
The Freeze is great. And yeah. everyone should listen to that interview from
You
last
should.
Week.
Yeah, if you missed last week's episode, go back and listen.
So we know your mascots. We know your walk-up songs. What position do you think is the hardest to play on the field?
I think the most difficult to play, man, I think the one that is the most underappreciated is the catcher. So I think that might be it. I think catchers get a lot of – it's difficult to have a lot of love for the catcher. And that's like throughout your entire career. I've noticed a lot of kids growing up, like you don't get a lot of love and, you know – sometimes they call the, you know, when they're calling the games and like it's so much pressure on your knees. So I think that's probably the most difficult position for me. But the beauty of it is if you have like a really hard hitting catcher, that's great. But if you don't, they still manage to continuously go in the lineup. It's a lot of pressure to play it, to play that position. Like I said, it's really hard on your body. So I'd have to go catcher.
I also think it's one of those things that, like, it's hard to be literate about as a fan. Like, yeah. it's one thing to watch, like, a player and you can sort of intellectually understand, oh, they can make great right. highlight catches, or, oh, they can hit the ball really hard. But, like, the idea of framing is something that's sort of, like, not intuitive necessarily, or, like, just the concept
of... all the gear in, like, 100-degree weather, oh, that gives
yeah. me... Yeah, and even, like, catching pop-ups behind the plate and stuff like that is like, a lot harder than they make it look. And mm-hmm. so I think people... You're right. I think it's a little bit underappreciated. Thank you for taking the time to let us pester you with questions yeah. about your life. Now I feel like we know you so much better, and we're all just a great team here at Cup 4. That's
yes.
it's very wholesome, a wholesome end to the podcast. But now that the podcast is nearing its end, we must summarize the podcast in 140 characters, one bite-sized chunk that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast for you. Jessica, since you're new, we're going to let you go last. Gemma, since you're
okay.
old, you have to go first.
God, what do we even talk about on this podcast? Everything.
Gemma
really.
Is not old.
Thank you, Jess.
Sure, stand up for her. Whatever. What's your tweet? Tweet.
All right.
What's a tweet? Give me a tweet.
Okay. All right. This week on the Cup Forecast, two lessons: don't run with scissors, and at what's your Twitter handle, Jess?
KleinschmidtJD, the most obnoxiously long Twitter handle.
At KleinschmidtJD is a great new addition to at Cup 4.
That's very sweet.
Yes.
Look at you.
It was nice. What's yours?
You're being very wholesome on the mm-hmm. wholesome Cup 4 Twitter mm-hmm. hour. That's the name of our next podcast. My tweet is, you know what? I was wrong. Period. The coolest thing to do in a baseball stadium is destroy the lights. Hashtag a forecast.
I like this because it starts with you saying you were wrong. I would retweet yeah. that. That was good.
You could have just stopped after that. And that was countless retweets. I'm like, okay, you know what? I appreciate that.
Yeah, the greatest.
It would have been evergreen. It would have been an evergreen. I could have just made that my pinned tweet. yeah. All right, Jessica, what do you got? Give us your Twitter summary.
Okay, so I actually typed it out, like, in Twitter. Hopefully I don't accidentally send it. But and I got right to 140 characters. So, yeah. But I couldn't finish it. So fireworks are essential to any baseball game, defensive wins, championships, and a spot on the Cut 4 podcast. And please don't run with scissor. I couldn't put scissors because that was 141 characters.
No,
some
like
people
that.
Call it a scissor.
Please don't run with a scissor.
Yeah, people say that. They're always, you've never heard that?
Who says that?
And could you hand me a scissor? You've never heard that?
No, I would give him half of a pair of scissors.
I have, but when you say run with scissor, that's not like, what? You want me to do what?
It sounds a little like a British person describing it, like an aristocrat. Don't run with scissor.
Yeah, it's like a cat's name.
or a horse.
Album that was running with scissors. Is that like Linkin Park or Korn or something?
Perhaps.
Is that really like punk is to run with scissors? They're not punk. I know. Yeah. Don't fight with me on this. I know.
That is very punk. We run with scissors. We're hardcore. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk, please tweet it at us, at Cut4, with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones, like the slightly less good ones, and ruthlessly mock in our private office.
We do not mock ones. You.
We don't mock
We appreciate
anyone.
You.
We do it. We appreciate
you. Remember
each
Dakota's
and every
tweet.
One
he was
you.
Wrong.
I was wrong. This is a podcast. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast or anywhere else that you get your podcasts. While you're on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, please leave us a review. You can take out the time. You can take the time to actually type it out. That helps us. You can also leave a 1 to 5 star rating if you don't want to actually take time to type. I understand. You're a busy person. You have a lot. You're in the car right now. You're driving somewhere. You're late. You don't have time to type out a review, but you do have time to press the 5 star button or 4. Let's be honest.
Whoa! You should leave a voice to text review because then we'll read it out loud on the podcast and it'll be really weird.
Ooh. It'll be weird and funny. It'll be weird and funny. You can also go to MLB.com/cut4 to read all the articles we write on a day in and day out basis. You can go to Facebook.com/cut4 and like us, and all of our content will appear in your newsfeed. You can follow us on Twitter @cut4. If you have any questions about us, about the show, about things you need the most advice about, what hat should I buy? What jersey should I buy? You can email us cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. Jessica, welcome to Cut 4 and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast.
Thank you, guys.
Gemma, as always, thank you for being here.
Of course.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.